Hey friends, you are listening to the After Sunday podcast with Taylor Johnston and Casey Rolapp. Here we're going to have real, authentic conversations about both the challenges and the beauty of the Christian lifestyle. Our hope is that you would leave this podcast praising God for all of the good, but also trusting Him with the not so great. Thank you for tuning in. We are so glad that you're here. Hey, welcome back to the After Sunday podcast. I'm Taylor Johnston.
And I'm Casey Rolapp.
And today we have a very special guest. We say that about every guest, but this is truly a very special guest. Abby Jurgens is with us.
Yeah!
And she's going to be talking about as you go. So discipleship, being a believer, loving Jesus, loving people as you go. All right, Abby. You've heard the podcast, right? So you know what's coming.
She's a loyal listener.
She is. She gives really good feedback, too.
Oh, thank you.
Every time I'm like, this is really helpful. Okay, so you know what's coming then.
I do.
It is Sharing is Caring.
Yes.
And our very first, Abby was really sweet. She brought us gifts.
And I've been wanting this gift for a while because I'm a big coffee drinker and I'm like, oh, my teeth look a little yellow.
You know how funny it is for us to be in our 30s and you say, like, this is a gift I've been wanting?
It's so true. Because
it is.
I had to pay a fortune on softball and baseball fees. I'm like, I don't need to spend $30 on good toothpaste.
That's right. She brought us toothpaste. So, Ab, do you squeeze? Do you roll? What do you do? Psychopath. Okay. Another one in our midst.
You are a psychopath.
That's what? Yes! It's just, like, I'm not even like a frugal person.
No.
You have to.
Knowing you so well, it just makes perfect sense.
It does.
But I've listened to every episode. I knew this was coming.
Yeah.
This is why this was the gift. And so this particular toothpaste is on its head. So it stands on
Wait,
its head.
What?
So you don't have to squeeze.
Get this box out.
Wait a minute.
Yeah, open it. They're opening their gifts right now.
A little loud here.
Wait, are you serious?
Yeah. So it's on its head. So it stands on its head. So there's no squeezing like an animal.
Like a crazy person.
And my kids, they have it kids fluoride free because you know I'm all about non-toxic. So
speaking of, you also brought us another gift.
I did.
This is so sweet.
Yeah. I see that.
Because you guys talk a lot.
And
so I was very thoughtful.
You know me.
Your breath won't
you
stink.
You know
and
me.
Your lips won't
I
be
love
chapped.
It.
I haven't tried the lemon lavender.
It's so good.
And it's my favorite.
We're going to talk about Abby's business here a little bit. Gilead yeah, girls. But yeah, shout out. I love their products. I use them every day. So
thank
we'll
you.
Talk about that here in a minute. But thank you, Abby. That was so
You're
thoughtful.
Welcome.
And I've had it in my Amazon cart for a while. Natural teeth whitening strips. But they're expensive.
They
and
are.
Also, I have sensitive teeth. And so I'm like, do I really want to try this? So I'm really thankful. I'm really happy
it's
about
good.
This gift.
That's so funny.
It's a good one.
Very sweet.
Thank
You're welcome.
You, Abby.
It's at Dollar General for $5.
Okay. Well, I'm going to.
Save your money.
There you go.
It's cheaper than my $25 whitening strips I
yes.
have in the cart that I never bought. Okay. Sharing is caring. Let's do it, Taylor.
Okay. So I actually, really quick, sorry, I'm going to have to circle back. So you did the Magpie Market, right?
Yes.
In Marion. And I bought like a big thing of body scrub.
Mm-hmm.
It was coffee.
Yeah.
And Sunny is convinced it's hers. We fight over it.
Oh my gosh.
She says, that's mine.
Oh.
And I'm like, baby, that's not yours. Like, you don't even, what do you need a body scrub for? But she has no concept of like
right.
body scrub or that it's got coffee in it.
Right.
And so anyway, we fight over that. It's great. Good times.
Safe for children.
Good. Good
not
to know.
Toxic.
Of course. All right. So something else I want to talk about in this segment with Sharing is Caring. You do something kind of unique. And that is surrogacy.
Yes.
You're actually on your second journey.
Yes.
And are you allowed, like how much, I don't know how much you're allowed to talk about that or.
Yeah. In the beginning of our process with this family in particular, they are very social on social media. He is a YouTube artist.
Cool.
So I won't speak to that too much, but he's very public. So, but what I can share is my side of the experience for sure. So. Yeah, this is my second surrogacy journey, as you both know. And last time I carried twin girls.
On accident.
It was a surprise.
It was an accident.
Yeah.
It was not an accident. God
no,
definitely
yes.
saw
it.
I say that all the time. That wasn't my plan.
Yes.
So, yes. But I vowed to never do that again.
Well, that was your first time too.
It was.
And then I remember you went in and you were like, there's two babies in
yep.
there weren't two babies in here.
I texted you after that appointment.
And now there are two babies in here.
Yep. So this is called a split after IVF. It can be something that happens. However, it's very rare. So, yes, my first journey was twin girls, carried them 37 weeks. They're almost two this month.
That's crazy.
Which is crazy. And, yeah, so recovered.
Do you still stay in contact with that family? Like, do you still get to see the babies?
Yes. So she sends me updates all the time. Aww. We have five kids now, and our kids are similar in age. So, yeah, we try to touch base all the time. And so it's been really a beautiful process.
You've actually traveled there, haven't you?
Yes, I got to see them on their first birthday, which was the coolest experience.
Are you serious?
Yes. So, yeah, they flew us out there. My kids got to meet their kids. And we stayed in their basement. And it was the funnest thing ever. That's so cool. And so the twins, it was the craziest thing. So I brought my carrier. And the one that I gave you, actually.
With Sunny when she was little.
Yes. And so I took that, and I remember one of the twins was kind of like acting up, and like I stuck her in there. We were going on a walk, and they were like walking through a park. She looked at me.
Stop.
It makes me want to cry. I told you guys I'm going to cry. But she looked at me like, how do I know you? Yeah, it was like the craziest, like, eerie thing. Like, it just stopped her in her tracks. Like, I know your voice, and her being so close to me. And so it was wild. So so cool. It was a really, really neat experience. So anyways, that was my first journey. This journey is a completely different experience. Just working with a new couple. They're out of Texas. And so, you know, Taylor loves Texas. So
just good. They're probably good people. I don't know. They're probably good people.
Yeah, they're amazing. Amazing couple. This will be their first child ever, biological child. They actually adopted a little girl around the same time they started this process. So they are going to have two kids.
Oh my goodness.
Very close in age.
Is their adopted child like young or older?
Yes. Okay. She is 8 months.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
So kind of having twins, really.
It is, yeah.
When are you due?
Like, I am due in September. So they will literally be like
a year apart.
Irish yeah.
twins.
That's I know. So, cool. So it's really neat. Yeah, but it's beautiful. I'm having a little boy.
Aww.
And yeah, I'm almost half. By the time this comes out, it'll probably be 20 weeks already.
Dude, that's crazy.
I know.
Are you delivering locally?
Yeah, in Carbondale. Okay. Yeah.
Do you feel like it has gone went faster with your own biological children, like your pregnancies, or do you feel like the surrogacy goes way faster?
I have been asked this question a lot, but I think because my kids are grown now, and we're so busy, as we'll talk about.
Define grown as like
five. Okay, so they're five. Yeah, well, 5 and 7. 35. Yes, they're not. 18. But I'm not. I'm literally not like wiping butts, yeah, and I'm not right. buckling car seats.
You're
and all those things.
Night.
I'm sleeping through the night. Yeah. So I feel like because our personal home life is so much more organized now, in a way that. Yeah, it just seems easier, and it's faster, and we're doing so much in our life that it's so distracting that, it feels way faster and easier for some reason.
That's awesome. And stop. Abby's not the only one. We have several friends, like, that we are all kind of friends with that do surrogacy as well. Like, it feels like it's a thing here in Southern Illinois. There's, like, a group, right?
There is a growing community in our area, yes. So the agency that we work with is absolutely amazing. They're out of Texas and Florida.
Imagine
and
that.
And I think this is a sign you should do surrogacy.
Imagine that. Oh, mercy. Sorry.
Excuse me while
Texas,
I laugh.
Surrogacy.
Oh, girl.
Oh, man. No, but, yeah, there are several, I would say, 9-plus of us in the area now. And so we call each other the surrogacy, Southern Illinois Surrogacy Sisters.
Aww.
Which is really cheesy, but we have a group text, and we'll meet up for coffee, and then everybody's in different parts of their journey. We text constantly because it's like, oh my gosh, have you started your shots? Have you seen this doctor? Like, the whole process of IVF to delivery, which can be really emotional because you're not keeping that child and all these things. So yeah, we definitely keep each other accountable and pray for each other, and we cook each other meals when you deliver and all those
That's
things.
Awesome.
So yeah,
I love that.
It's beautiful.
You definitely need that. I mean, in all seasons, but I mean, it's such a specific thing that I would imagine until you go through it, you really can't fully understand
absolutely
what it's like. So to have people that know that, that's awesome.
So I'm curious, where did the desire to do that, like, because that's not something one day you're like, you know what sounds really fun today?
Right.
Yeah. Like, because it's actually, when you were talking about the shots, you have to take these crazy shots. I mean, there's a lot that goes into it physically before you're ever carrying that baby. So what made you say, like, today's the day, we're doing this?
Okay, so I had never, this was not something on my radar. Most of the women that you talk to that have done this have researched this and wanted to do this forever. That was not my experience. So with both of my own kids, you probably know some of this personally, but for anyone listening, I have not had a bad pregnancy.
Boss. So She's so amazing.
Really, really, I think God has given me such a grace in this that going way back, ironically, I never thought I wanted children. And I'll boil that down to fear. It was a fear that I was experiencing and my husband Cody was experiencing, and we both never wanted to face that, I think. And so we were so in love and newly married and all of that. So when we were first having our first, you know, marriage of like the first few years, we were talking about, oh yeah, I don't think I really want kids. And so to go from there to literally having children for other people now is pretty ironic.
Plus having your own.
Yeah, it was. So we had my son Porter. His pregnancy was really great, and so I had a wonderful experience in delivery. It was very hard and very long, don't get me wrong, so it wasn't all beautiful, but and then my daughter was another beautiful process. So we've always used a midwife, and so she, again, she's five now, but the midwife was amazing. She is local and wonderful. I love her so much. And so that was a much faster process with her. And so I had her just a few, you know, hours from all that. Anyways, and then the first surrogacy journey having twins was not easy. I was in the OR. They were worried I was going to have a C-section, all these things. And I was like, oh, no, you don't know me. So, yeah, just having that empowerment. And I think each kid you have, you get more comfortable with the process and more.
Got some kids coming in.
Pause. Can I go outside? Yeah, I'm fine with that. You can. How I got to surrogacy? Yeah. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, okay, sorry, brief intermission.
That was getting really long. Okay, so yeah, I was pregnant with Keatley and was soon to deliver her when a friend of mine, Cassie, approached me and said, "Hey, you handle pregnancy really well. I think you would be a great surrogate." And as you know, when you're like 8 months pregnant and somebody else telling you, when are you going to have another baby? Yeah. So I looked at her and I laughed and I was like, oh, I'm not doing this again. Yeah. You know, we have a boy and a girl. You know, once we had our daughter, mm-hmm. we were like, okay, we've wanted a boy and a girl. This is great. And but apparently I tucked that into the recesses of my mind. And then we were a few months along we were 2 years along into living tiny at this point. And
define what that means, okay, living tiny.
We lived in a tiny house.
Like, my husband, square feet?
Sorry. It was 650 square feet.
With four people.
Yes. And so we, let's see, Keatley would have been brand new, like months. And so I remember where I was when God like smacked me in the face with this, because we were wanting to get out of debt. It's been our journey mm-hmm. forever. We both come from a really financially unsound background, our upbringing, and we weren't raised in a lot of, you know, money or just normalcy as far as that goes. So, yeah, we've been passionate about getting out of debt for years. And so one of our motivations was going tiny, but then it was also like, okay, now I stay at home.
Yeah.
And we have one income, we have our own business. And so it was really a scary time, but also all of our faith was like, you know, we knew God would provide. However, what does this actually look like logistically? So Cassie kind of, so with surrogacy, it's a beautiful process and you are caring. And you know, so many people are like, oh my gosh, you have such a big heart. There is a side to it where you are getting compensated.
Yeah.
Rightfully so, in my opinion, but it's not an easy process, but absolutely so there was this option to where we would be able to, I could stay at home, but still be providing and helping offset some of those costs. And so, yeah, I jumped in. I said, absolutely. My friend and her husband were so amazing to have us over for dinner. And they walked us through our application process. They walked us through the agency and what to expect. And from there, it was, I mean, from that night, like we prayed and we were like, mm-hmm. okay, this is it. Like we felt like God was really leading us into that. And it's been no regrets for me.
That's awesome. Obviously, you're on round two, so it worked out pretty good.
Yeah, yeah.
Round two, third child.
Third child.
Actually, yes. Fifth child you're bringing into the world. That's wild. Have you thought about that?
Yes, like,
yeah, I'm sure.
That's
beautiful.
All right, so we're going to go ahead and dive on into the meat and potatoes portion of this podcast. So when we originally reached out to Abby, we had the thought of, let's talk about just kind of this tension and balance that we try to find as women when it comes to work life, home life balance, because we do live in a culture where I feel like it's hard to do both well, right?
Right.
And so we see some people really have the strong mindset of you need to be home full time, so into your family. And I'm not saying that's right or wrong. And then you have some people who feel like, well, I've been given these gifts and abilities, and I have this draw to also work outside of the home. And I just feel like as women, and I think we all have been there, where we're like, what do we do here? What does scripture say? How do we navigate this? And then that kind of turned into a discipleship topic as well, because we know that we are called to disciple our kids and to also mm-hmm. go out and make disciples. And so what does that look like? So that is what we're going to talk about today, Abby. So with that said, go ahead and first tell us a little bit what you're doing currently.
Okay.
And then we'll dive into kind of the nitty gritty part of it.
Sure.
That might not be the right terminology yet. Go ahead, Ab.
Sure. Okay. Okay. Well, currently, my husband Cody and I, we have had a lawn care business for 13 years, which is crazy. Yes. And so I remember going from
getting old, Abby.
Oh, yeah, you're older than me still. I know. So anyways, yeah, I don't know. My husband is very driven. So if you've met him, he's
Cody Juergens
at all yes, things, basketball, right.
Everything. He softball. Will win. He will be number one. Mm-hmm. He will get the job done. So
we really do love you.
We do. And he has a heart of gold. And so when he sets out to do something, he's going to do it. And one of the things that I think God uses our marriage for is we both work really well together. I know there are couples who couldn't stand each other to be working together. And so I know that's a grace that we have. But yeah, so he started this lawn care business, and luckily I know everyone and their mother, so it really paired nicely where
that's so true.
He would you know, set out with his push. I mean, he started with a push mower, and then we bought this little beater of a mower that was like a residential, like I can think through the timeline, a little hustler. It was yellow. We called her like Bumblebee or something. And so we started from the ground up. And so, yeah, that was, looking back, that was so long ago. We've now moved on to commercial mowers and mowing many more properties. And so, yeah, we have grown that business now, like I said, 13 years. And it's been a beautiful process of both of us working together. I've not through surrogacy. I've contractually agreed to not be on a lawnmower. However, yeah, Cody is now kind of letting go of the reins a little bit. We've hired a lot of helpers and workers, and that's been a beautiful thing because I feel like we hold it so tightly, like this isn't going to be done well if it's not me, and like especially as a man and their pride and all the things that they struggle with.
Yeah.
So that's been really cool to see him let go and experience more freedom in that, to know the whole thing isn't going to fall apart if I'm not the one there. And so that's been really cool, even for our marriage and for our kids to see. It's like one of our long-term goals is to have our kids see, like, of course we want to see them to see us working, and they've seen us grow our rentals and grow these things, but and they've seen us on the mowers and all those things, but so they know that we work, obviously, but at the same time we want to be able to shut everything down by 3 p.m., pick our kids up together, drop them off at school together, like all those things, and then have a good time and still get to enjoy the fruits of our labor. And so it's been a really neat season. So that's our lawn care service, Green Living Yard Works. And then we have, let's see, we've started, this is such a unique situation. So when we went tiny, we started living in a tiny house. Cody learned via YouTube how to build a tiny house with the help of Nate Johnston, teaching him how to frame a house. We have had so many, we've just been blessed to have so many friends with so many skills that have come and put up windows and help with siding and all kinds of things. So it's not all fallen on him. However, it's been awesome to watch him grow and learn all these new skills. So yeah, we built our tiny house. We then had this little shed on the front of our lawn that we had no intent to do anything with other than house a mower. And so that was there for probably about a year and a half. And then we are dreamers along with our friends, the Johnstons. And I remember having a late night conversation about doing our first flip with them.
Oh, yeah.
And the so cat house. I know the cat house. Yikes. I'll never forget the smells. Mm. And luckily, it was when COVID first hit. So yeah. We were wearing masks anyways. So it masked all of the cat smell. Not so all of crazy. It, but some of it.
Good thing about COVID.
Yes, that's it.
Oh, my gosh. Cockroaches were like hanging between the ceiling and the
bathroom.
The bathroom had a hole in the floor.
Yeah, they didn't need the toilet.
Cats were living in that house actively. Yeah. It was bad.
Oh,
anyway.
It was bad. So, in the cellar. Oh, my gosh. Okay, so we did this flip house with our friends. We partnered and did what we could with that place, and it turned into a beautiful little home.
It's awesome. It's actually amazing. For sale now.
It is. I saw that the other day.
Not by us. We already sold it, but it's free for sale.
So anyways, from that, our earnings from that little home, Cody got the bright idea to convert our shed that was just, it's literally 120 square feet.
No, like there was, you fit a riding lawnmower in it, and that was it, right?
Yep. Some tools.
Yeah.
And so he flipped that into an Airbnb. Yeah. I mean, it was like a short-term rental at the front of our property. And we just said, we'll see what happens. I mean, it's already ours. And we paid it all off right there. And so we took those funds, put it into this little rental. And also through COVID, it was the height of travel nursing. And so we had, for 18 months straight, travel nurses living in our front yard, which was the coolest experience, too. Our kids knew their names and, checked their mail and all these things. It was just the coolest thing. So that was our first little mission we had. And then from that, we were able to take some of those funds and get our first official, it wasn't a shed, conversion into our Gorville property.
Oh, yeah.
Which you also had a hand in. Taylor's our realtor, so shout out to Taylor. So she helped us find this little cabin, a little Amish built cabin that we've now, it's 3 miles from Ferncliff, so there's a lot of hiking. It's close to the Lake of Egypt, and so it's a beautiful little spot. And I was super pregnant with the twins, and we've always flipped something, I feel like, while I'm pregnant. So it seems like that's just what we do. So we flipped that one, opened it. It's been running for now almost 3 years, which is crazy. And then from there, we opened our home. We're now living in a barn. It's fine. Everything's fine.
Everything's okay.
It's been an interesting
season. How many square
feet
is the barn? I can't remember.
700.
Okay.
So it's a little bigger than our tiny house.
But it is a barn. It's different. It's a different setup.
Yeah. I mean, it's cute. It's just not a home. Yeah. It's, you know, you've been there. It's just very.
I'm curious, as you're saying all of this, if someone wanted to go look this up on Airbnb, what's your, is it?
Simple Stays.
Okay.
Yep. Simple Stays LLC.
Because the Gorville one is so cute. Yes. I mean, it's all very, very well done. But the Gorville one has, like, it's out in the woods. It's got like a
little
creek running through it.
Yeah,
it's really
pretty.
It's wonderful. A new one.
We do.
So fun, this one.
Okay, so we've finally gotten to where the rental income is offsetting even the mowing. So like every winter, most people know about us. We just don't have income.
Yeah. Self-employment, yay.
Woohoo! So this was probably the first winter we've like, wow, we can pay our bills in the winter. Not that we don't pay our bills, but we weren't having to save up literally like $50,000 to survive several months of winter.
I think that's a really good point, because as you're saying all of this, I think it's easy for people to think, wow, you just went, you started small and you went to the next, but like how on earth? It's actually not easy.
No, it's
it was none of that. Like, it's easy to say, well, then we built this out and we built that out, but Cody actively building out this cabin, or this last one, treehouse.
Yeah.
I mean, it is a lot of work. You're up in the morning. He's also mowing. I mean, there's just a lot. Yeah. It's not easy.
No.
A lot of sacrifice that comes along with that.
Yes.
And discipline.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. To fast forward, I mean, there's definitely been some highs and lows through every build and every season. Yes. We just started in the middle of this. I'm tired talking about everything. Mm-hmm. But no, we... okay. So, my friend Casey... She finally gets a shout out.
So I brought it up. No, I'm
just kidding. She's like,
now let's talk about me.
Okay, let's see. No. This was not on my radar. This was not something that I had, you know, ever dreamed of doing, having my personal own business in partnership with Megan. So, I mean, through my whole life, I've had a just a, I don't know, like a deep love for health and fitness and nutrition and all kinds of things. I've never gotten any kind of degree or anything like that in those. I'm actually educated in social work. So, but I do love helping people, and that's kind of still stems through. But I can, reflecting back, I've always seen that I love sales. I love people, customer service, and I've always done those things really well. And so I worked, you know, at a tanning salon for 9 years, and I was the manager from like 19 on. So like, I've always been really driven, but, motherhood makes you,
slows you down a bit.
I love being a mom.
I shouldn't say it slows you down. It shakes everything up.
It does. Yeah. So even like my passions and desires, I felt like they were not necessarily put on the back burner, but everything just looked different. Mm-hmm. So, when I had my son, I instantly turned crunchy. Like I was like making baby wipes out of paper towels and essential oils. And Cody was like, what is happening? Because I'm like, I stay at home now. I have to do all the things. And so making like 5-gallon buckets of laundry soap. I tried so hard with cloth diapering. And I would just cry all the time. It was terrible. And with a boy, they just pee out the side.
Well, so we cloth diapered Nate when I stayed at home. And I got to the point where I was so sick of the laundry, I would just throw them in with our laundry. And Nathaniel, he'd be like, why do my clothes smell like pee? And I'm like, I have no idea.
Oh my That's gosh. So weird. Yeah. So I tried all of that. But it just, you know, becoming a mom just changes every part of you. Where you're like, now I have this thing to take care of. And it's like you were just hyper focused on that. Yeah. And so... yeah, so that was kind of, I learned what I was good at and not good at in that season too. But I remember Reporter was 6 months old, and I had this longing to work but I think I've worked through it now. But, you know, I had just earned a degree, and I had worked for 4 years, and I had done all these things. There was so much pride that I was like not realizing my identity. So much of my identity was placed in what I did, not who God created me to be at all. And so looking back, I'm like, oh, that was precious. and I remember I took this part-time job of a friend's husband that was like, you can be my secretary. You can bring your baby. You can feed him. You can do all these things. And I was like, okay, that sounds great. I want to help and help my family and my husband and all these things. And it was awful. Like, not the job itself, but I could not separate mm-hmm. being a mom and trying to work. And I remember him being in this little bassinet as I'm answering phone calls. And it was terrible. And so that lasted like 2 weeks, I think. I was like, this is not it. So I stayed home, and then, you know, fast forward, had my daughter, then started surrogacy and all these rentals. And so, but I've still, throughout the whole time, I feel like I've struggled to, when somebody asks me what I do, it's just easier to say I stay at home. When in reality,
ever home?
A, I'm never home. And B, we do so much. And so I think it's exhausting to try to think about, like, does a person actually care when they ask you that? Are they actually like, so what do you do for work?
I think so. I mean, when I ask someone that, I'm like, I want to know.
Sure.
And I think an easier answer for you is like, oh, my husband and I are, we're entrepreneurs.
Yes.
Because really that sums up, you're starting things. You're like new life and letting it roll, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, but I think so.
It's a hard question.
Also, though, I overshare. So I would be like, let me sit down. Let me tell you everything I do in detail.
Yes. So when Cody's with me, he just walks away because he doesn't care that somebody's asking him that because it's too much. It's just a lot. And like, do you actually want to know that we have rentals and lawn care service and surrogacy and now Gilead Girls? No. But so, yeah, it's weird. But if it's a close friend, absolutely. They want to know what you're doing. But OK, so fast forward to Gilead Girls. Last June, with surrogacy and having babies and all the things, you know, when you hit 30, it feels like your body gets really confused. Yeah. So, I think hormonally I was having a lot of issues, and my good friend Megan, she and I were talking a lot about our just health and getting tests run and the Dutch test and the podcast we were listening to about our bodies and hormones and all these things. And so we both are really passionate about a lot of the same things, but never in my mind have I thought, oh, I'm going to go into business with Megan Adams. So it's just wild. And I'm sure she thought the same thing. A, like, just getting out of the home is weird. It's a weird stage.
She's a stay-at-home mom too, right?
She is a stay-at-home mom too. Yes.
And it's such, because I know you both very well.
Yeah.
It's just, you're such a good match.
It's crazy.
Your strengths complement each other in a crazy way. And
it's wild.
Works so well.
Yes. So for Megan, so we were just talking about this. She told me about a product that she bought online. You need to try this because I had a lot of hormonal acne. I've never had acne in my life until I hit 30. Makes sense.
So weird.
So I'm like, what is my body doing?
Things no one tells you.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So, so she was telling me about this product I needed to try, and it's tallow. And I was like,
tallow's beef fat, by the way.
Yes. And so I was like, you're rubbing beef fat all over your face. Okay, this is where we are. This is 30. Okay. So I was like, okay, sure, Megan. 30. She's like, even Justin's using it. And then I was like, all right, maybe I'll give it a try.
So I get ding dongs in from gas.
Yeah, I'm like, he's not concerned about health or wellness at all.
We love you too, Justin.
Yes. So she let me try this product. I tried it. And, you know, like with any product, you're like, okay, that was great, but it's not going to heal my face in one try. And so, yeah, it just took us down this journey of studying this. And so I got online. I was going to order some. And I was like, this is like $35. No. And so, yeah,
that's such an entrepreneurial way of thinking.
Yeah.
I can make this.
So yeah,
I can make it better.
So I was like, it's three ingredients and we can just make, I have Megan Adams next to me who can literally do anything in the kitchen. Yeah. And so, so Casey, we made some. So Megan and I went ahead and figured it out. We figured out how to render tallow, render beef fat, where to get it from, grass-fed and finished, all these things. We have this little Mennonite farm in Ina, Illinois that we get our beef fat from. And so we learned how to make it. We made a small batch for ourselves. We loved it. And then Casey tried it and said, you girls have got to make this. You guys have a business. Yeah. So we made it. Casey came to try some. And Casey being very entrepreneurial, she just decided to help us launch it. And both Megan and I were like, what are you talking about? Like this. But for me, I'm like a go-getter. Like, I'm like, let's do this. We can do this. I think Megan
didn't really need me, like, in hindsight. Yes, like, you would have totally figured it out on your own. But it was really neat because you're both both are good friends of mine. Just to be a part of that.
Yeah.
Like, to see, and to see where you're at now, like, you guys are killing it.
Oh, thank you.
And seriously.
I think it goes to show Casey as a champion of other people. Like, yes. Even her ministry, The Worth the Risk, like, it is about championing other women to do kingdom work.
Exactly.
And to take kingdom risks. And so I think that even just speaks to that.
Yes. Guys. Thank you.
But anyways, it's so cool. So with all this said, we realized that was, like, a lot of information. Mm-hmm.
But you do a lot. I mean, that's a lot.
Sure. And I think it's a good setup for this conversation.
Yeah.
Because I think a lot of people listening might feel tired. Like,
yeah.
If you're being honest, like, how does she do all of that? And and what does that look like? What does that balance look like? So let's talk about that. Let's talk about what you have learned with that work-life balance, how you are making disciples, how you're investing into your kids, how you're investing in people outside of your home as you're on the go. Because obviously you're on the go a lot. And, you know, what does scripture say about all this? Because, again, I think this is just a conversation that needs to be had because as a woman myself, I feel this tug all the time. Am I spending enough time at home?
Yeah.
Am I, you know, operating in the gifts that God has given me outside the home? Well, like, am I stewarding these things well? And so let's talk about that.
Well, okay. And can I caveat all of this to say that I know Abby is probably not going to be like, I'm an awesome person and I love Jesus and I work for the kingdom. I mean, she's not going to say that about herself.
Right.
But the last 2 weeks, we were literally doing something. I don't know if I'm allowed to say what we were doing yet because I don't know if you've announced it. But we were literally doing something and there was a situation in which some people you have been walking with for a long time, you're like, hey, we're just bringing them in. We're just bringing them into this. We're going to let them see how we're doing life. Our kids are running around, but we've got plans with them. It wasn't like we're going to sit down and disciple these people and we're going to, you know what I mean? It was literally genuinely on the go, living life, being genuine, you know? And so I've seen Abby do these things. I know of things. I won't call it out because I don't want to steal the joy of giving. But I know that they are very generous. So it's not that they're doing these things to build all of this thing for themselves. I want you guys who are listening to really understand that I really truly believe Abby and Cody Juergens are building the kingdom and the things that they're doing. And so everything she's getting ready to say, she's speaking from a place of authority, in my opinion, and from what I've seen.
Sorry, guys. We have lots of kids running around. So if you hear a bunch of crazy noises, that's what that is.
Okay, now that Abby's crying, speak. Now it's your turn to take it away.
Oh, gosh. Okay. Yeah. Okay. I am pregnant. So, but I mean, it doesn't matter if I'm pregnant or not. I was born with tears for every emotion. Aww. So
yeah, I've known you like seriously my whole life. That's so true. But I love that about
Keely even asks, are those happy tears? Because she knows if I'm happy, I'm crying. If I'm sad, I'm crying. Aww. If I am ticked off, I'm crying. Aww. So it's just every emotion. I apologize.
There are two emotional Abbies, crying and not crying.
Yes. Yeah. So, to speak to, thank you. That was very sweet. So when Casey asked me to speak and come on this podcast, I had my heart set on like a specific message about fear and the things that I'd experienced in the past. It's all very valid. But just in the course of time, God laid on my heart to talk about as you go. And so in Matthew 28, it's Paul writing to the church that, God has given us this authority through the Holy Spirit to, as you go, make disciples. And so, I mean, I've heard that message my whole life. I've heard that sermon 5,000 times of make disciples. And I'm actually reading an amazing book right now by John Mark Comer. So if you're familiar with his stuff is amazing about rest. And this particular book is how to just live like Jesus and what he did and how he went about. And so it's really, really slowed me down, but made me also evaluate like how religion can really paint a picture of like we have to have this megaphone preaching on the side of the street saying you're gonna turn or burn, like this kind of message, but in the same token handing out you know flyers of that, like no, like as you are doing what you're doing, if you're going to the grocery store, if you are sitting in your car with your kids, whatever you're doing, if you're working or if you're at home or whatever it may be, you make disciples there because he's given us the authority. It's not, I think so often, especially as moms, we have the guilt. We need to be doing this or more of this or making bread or whatever it is.
Taking, making bread's bad, but like yes, you feel this
sure,
kitchen,
yeah.
Are we making bread enough?
Or sure, yeah.
Too much fast food, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, it's just hard.
Yeah, and so with that, God's just like, we make it so much harder than he really wants it to be because he just says, like, come and I will give you rest. Like, all we have to do is submit it all to him. And so that's, I just feel like he's been speaking that so much to me specifically that I think with doing so much, in the entrepreneurial realm and marriage and family and school and all of the things, something has to give at some point where I don't always do it super well, but the balance of all of it is so difficult with friendship. So like I would say right now, community is an area of my life that I'm not thriving in. And it can be difficult, but I will say like marriage and family are on the front burners right now, you know, and like that's going really well. And it's not that you can't have it all, but that balance is just off. And I know that I'm aware of it, but it's like right now I just can't. And I think a lot of people in my life realize our life and how crazy it is, and that's okay. But at the same time, like as you were speaking to our friends, a lot of times it's like, hey, somebody could reach out to me and they need something or they need prayer on the way here. I'm voice memoing illegally driving, but a friend of mine needed prayer. And so like, it's just as I'm literally going to do this podcast, sometimes it just looks like, you know, I'm still here. I'm still available, but it looks different than being available for everyone all the time.
One thing I really like about you and Cody, and I think you do this really well, is bringing your kids into the things you do. Because I think sometimes we have this divide in our minds, like it either has to be all at home or all outside the home. And I think it can be both, you know, and I do think there are boundaries that we, you know, I think we can get so focused outside the home where our home suffers. And I'm a firm believer our home should be our primary ministry with our kids and our family. Yeah. But it doesn't have to be like, this is what I'm doing at home and this is what I'm doing outside the home. Mm-hmm. Like, you are literally bringing them with you as you go.
Yeah.
And I think there's so much value to be learning that, because they're seeing you hands-on how you handle situations, how your work ethic is, mm-hmm. how you are pouring into people, how you are making disciples. And then while they're seeing all that, what you're doing is you're discipling them, right?
Yeah.
And so I think that you and Cody do that super well.
Thank you.
Yeah, you really do. Because I struggle with that, because I'm very much like, I can do this a lot faster if I don't have my kids with me. You
know? Yeah.
Like, when I'm home, like, you have my attention. Not always. Sure. I struggle with that sometimes. But I need to be better about even bringing my kids into the ministry work I'm doing with the risk. So I have a hard time bringing my kids along with the things that I'm doing outside the home, because sometimes I just feel like I have the wrong mindset of, like, this is more of a distraction and I could be much more effective if I don't bring them along. But I need to bring them more into the things that I'm doing, because then they see. And Jordan, I can mm-hmm. really good at this, yes. to bring her kids along, and I need to be better at that. So
I think that's something where it is so helpful to have a partner who is equally as invested.
Yeah.
Truly. Yeah. Because, I mean, there is a way in which, you know, when you and Cody are both working, you guys are both taking care of your kids. Mm-hmm. You're both present. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And so it makes it's not easy by any means. Like, it is difficult to do that, because we kind of live the same lifestyle. Yeah. Nathaniel and I are both self-employed.
Yep.
And so, and we get called out randomly and you're like, all right, kiddos, pack up. We're going, you know? But it's really helpful when you are doing it as a team. Yeah. And I know not everyone has that luxury. I mean, that they have that extra level of, like, this is even more mm-hmm. difficult. But it's worth it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So I have a question, and I think we all could kind of tag team in answering this. If you have something really good, but I would just put this on you, Abby, but what would you say to the woman who is struggling? Like, they feel this call, like, they know that their home needs to be the primary ministry, but they also have these gifts and abilities and this desire to use what they've been given outside the home, but they're maybe dealing with guilt or fear mm-hmm. or whatever that is. Like, what would you say, or you say to those people, Taylor? Because I do feel like that is such a struggle. Yeah. And again, I struggle with that too, because we do want to come also from this, like, a biblical perspective of mm-hmm. what that looks like. So I struggle with that sometimes.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, it kind of depends on the person, because, like you're saying, I can think of friends in my head who maybe don't have the partnership that, you know, maybe a lot falls on them, or they're plucked from where they were from and they don't have childcare, or so, I mean, apply it how you can. But I think involving them is the key. Like, I mean, I keep seeing on Instagram and Facebook, but that same quote of, I don't know, I'm going to botch it, but it's like, isn't that the point? Like, isn't it the point that the kids slow you down? Yeah. Like, I think that's what God intends. Is like, it's so beautiful to see Kaitlee picking up a hammer and seeing that, she's going to be the construction where, you know, like, we want to put them in this zone, but like, yeah, I think them being involved, like, that is, again, I hate to keep coming back to it, but as we're going, I think that is, I would say, try to bring them along. And I think many times, especially in the car, I find it easier to, like, zone out, be thinking about what I'm going to do next, or looking at my calendar and planning out all these things, when instead my kids are only seeing you looking at your calendar, or they're seeing you looking at your phone. Yeah. Whereas, like, I have learned probably, and I'm not always done this well, but in the last, like, since, you know, when your kids hit a certain age and they ask every question.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So I think, especially Porter asks really deep questions, and he wants to like he won't just let you say, you'll know when you're older or whatever. Like, that's not an answer for him. So
100% you're in Cody Durgan's child.
Yeah. So it's just like, why? Or, okay, can you show me? Because it's like, okay, yeah, I can do that. But I've had to slow down and really, if I'm in the car on the way here, I said, Kaitlee, did you know we're going to go with Miss Casey and Miss Taylor, and we're going to record a podcast? Because she knows I listen to every podcast under the sun. So she knows all about it. And so she thought it was really interesting. Rather than just like, we're driving here, we show up. Like, I wanted to know what we're doing. That it's not just, I'm going to go hang out with my friends and you go play with your little friends, you know. And so I try to be intentional with that. I don't always do it well. But we try to give our kids the why before they even ask now. Because because like you said, sometimes they don't know why I'm carrying a baby and we're not keeping it, or, you know, but it goes without saying in my head too often where they're like, why? I want a brother, you know? So, you know, we have to have some difficult conversations about it, but just bringing them in and give, like, letting them at appropriate ages have opinions on things. If they don't want to go out to our treehouse and clean today, like, all right, let's pivot and work out a time that this works better for our family, or maybe they're tired or whatever. So
that's really good. So another question to piggyback. Do you want to add anything, Taylor, or before I go on to the next question? Are you sure? Okay. So as far as being intentional and boundaries, do you and Cody have any boundaries in place when you're at home? Like, you're at home, like, do you guys put your phones away? Do you have certain hours? Because I think that's also part of it, of like, when you're home, you're home, you know what I mean? And I would imagine in the entrepreneurial world, which I have a little bit of taste of with Worth the Risk, that can be super challenging.
Yes.
Because some things can't wait, or, you know, if something's going on at the Airbnb and you have to take care of it, like, I realize there has to be some flexibility, but, and you can speak on this too, Taylor, like, how do we have those healthy boundaries when we are at home and we need to be focused on our time at home?
Yeah. Okay. So our life is unique in that we're aiming for time freedom. So a lot of all of what we've been pushing for, we try to, again, be very open with our kids that, like, the reason we're doing this is so we try to point out, like, not like calling other families out, but you see how mom gets to come on your field trip, or do you see that mom gets to go to your, you know, your lunch and volunteer and do things at my son's school, or that dad gets to be at all of your games. Like, that doesn't happen in every family, and like, that's just something we value so much. And so I don't think our kids get it because this is right in front of them all the time and this is what they're used to. I think it's one of those things that when they're 28, they're going to be like, holy cow.
When they become parents and they see what it took for you to bring them along.
Yeah, I think so. It's just the long game. We're playing the long game right now that we're like, one day they'll look back and hopefully they'll carry that over. They might not, and they might work their tails off and get a corporate job, and that's fine. We're fine with that. But I hope they see the value that we have poured in so much and sacrificed.
His tears are coming.
Sorry.
No, it's real.
Yeah. It's been a hard season. Yeah. It's so, but our goal for this next year, our daughter is starting school. They'll go to a local private school together, and it's such a beautiful school and experience. And so I'm looking forward to that season. It's weird to have your youngest go off and start. And so while it's emotional, I'm so looking forward to this new season of Cody and I, like, we're entering rest, like a season of rest, and getting to, like, kind of reap a little bit of what we've sown, but getting to pour out so much more. Like, that's our heart, is like, okay, we've done this and we've seen how to grow this, but now we get to show others that are, like, wrapped up in debt and in one of our hearts is, like, just broken marriages, or even just new marriages, young relationships, and those kinds of things. So we're like, so desiring to just pour back out, because it has been more of a selfish season for us, where you're like, we're trying so hard because we can see where we're going and what God is wanting to do in us. And so, yeah, we're just looking forward to the ministry. And ministry season.
I think, Ab, that's the point of, like, you being here speaking about as you go, is because we don't live in a bubble. We don't parent in a bubble. We don't work in a bubble. We don't go to church in a bubble. And it's literally like, we want to isolate all of those things, you know? And so it's like, as you go, even in the seasons where you're like, we're having to build something over here, and maybe we don't have as much capacity over here as we would like, you're still being obedient to the call to make disciples as you go. And not just with your children, it is with other people. It is investing into marriages and things like that. So I think that's beautiful. And I think that, like, while you may feel like it's a season of, like, yeah, we've just kind of had to build this thing and it feels a little selfish, you have continued to be obedient to the call.
Yeah. And now you're seeing the fruit of that obedience. And I do think the word season is a really key word in all this conversation, because this is going to look different seasons. When our kids are little and they're in high demand and they literally have to have us for everything, like, we're probably going to find ourselves at home a little bit more, right?
Yeah.
And then as they start to grow, our capacity to be able to pour outside the home, you know, it shifts.
Yeah.
And I also just want to say this, because there probably are some people listening that they're like, oh, this sounds great, but that's just not practical mm-hmm. for me. And that is true. Like, there are yep. some people that they have to work that 9 mm-hmm. or 8 to 6, 8 to 9.
Yeah. And that. Not everyone's called to do this because we need bankers who are people of faith, who are light yes. in the banking that's industry. Exactly. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. all across the board.
Right. And there might be some women who, you know, really want to work outside the home, but they feel like God is calling them to focus their attention and their all their abilities inside the home. And at the end of the day, obedience is what we're after.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And so I think this isn't just a cookie cutter situation. I think it's going to look very different for different people. I think the big thing is to seek after the Lord, mm-hmm. what he has for you and your family. And also, if you are married, really being open and seeking the Lord together. And mm-hmm. I'm gonna even say that. Submit word, you know, like
yeah.
if your husband, you know, needs you at home more, and you know, I know that's a touchy subject,
yeah.
but like, we are called to submit to our husbands, and so I'm not of this mindset of like women do whatever you
right.
want and you do you
mindset. Yeah,
like we are called to one, submit to God, and to also to submit to our husbands of like, what does this look like for our family?
Yes.
And so I think that also is important to say that, because mm-hmm. we don't want to just follow our dreams if our dreams are taking us down a dangerous
yep.
dangerous path that God does not want us to go down to.
Absolutely.
Down. So anyways, I just felt the need to say that. Like, one, we're not wanting to heap guilt on anyone.
No.
Conviction, maybe. Yes, actually. Like, we want to be convicted if we're off. But guilt, no. And again, I know that this isn't practical for everybody. But I will say this. Sorry, I'm talking a lot. One more thought and I'm going to be quiet. If you are in a season, though, where you are wanting financial freedom for you and your family, I do believe there is a way to get that.
Yes.
And I would encourage you to, like, contact
Adam. Reach out. Yeah, yes, yeah.
Have an Instagram page that is to help people. Like, if you want that, it's going to require sacrifice,
yep.
but there is a way to get there. And it's
yes.
going to look hard, and it's going to require a lot for yeah. you to give up and lay down, and you may not be able to have Starbucks every day. You know, things
yep.
like that. But I do believe that that is achievable, but I also recognize, I say that with knowing that there are some people that they just can't do that right now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So.
Yeah. And I've been in that season,
yeah.
you know, like I wasn't doing all of this when I first had my first two kids, you know, like my own children. It was not that. It was very much the mundane folding laundry, waking up, and this is Groundhog Day again,
yeah.
like
yeah.
doing, you know,
it's
it felt
a season for you,
absolutely.
You know?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. So.
All right, I'm done talking for a while.
No, it's so good. I was actually having a conversation with a friend who is also a neighbor. She lives right down the road. And we were sitting on my back porch the other day, and we were talking, and she said, you know, I know a lot of people who complain about their work, who are like, oh, it's just rough day, rough week, rough season, whatever. And she's like, but you have it. Like, there might come a time where you don't have that. Mm-hmm. So be grateful that
yeah.
you have it, even when it sucks, even when it's difficult, even when you have a coworker who you're like, I mm-hmm. would love to see you move to the moon.
Yeah.
You know, like, that is your season. And I think this is literally the as you go, we get so caught up in getting there.
Mm-hmm.
That I feel like that is so American.
Yes.
Yeah.
So American. Even in the, like, we all dread packing if we're going to mm-hmm. go on vacation.
Yeah.
You know, but literally it's the packing. It's the joy of allowing your kids to
yeah.
be like, I want to bring my Scooby-Doo snorkel
yes,
or whatever. And
right.
you're like, we don't have room for the Scooby-Doo snorkel
yes.
or whatever stupid little, I shouldn't say stupid, silly little thing they want to do. But in our minds, that's, we're like, no, like process. But it's actually like, that's part of the vacation is the packing and the
yeah.
unpacking. And we normally dread and we drudge to those things. But she was saying, and I'm like, wow, this is so wise. One day you're going to look back and that is the as you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
And you
literally
despised
that's
it.
That's the kingdom.
Yeah.
God's like, our goal is not heaven. I mean, it is, but you know what I mean? Like, we're supposed to bring heaven here
yeah.
now. Like, that is the as you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, like this, that's everything. We're all looking forward to, like, you know, we just had our solar eclipse experience. I can't even talk
about
it.
Do you want to go there? Do you want to go there?
There were a lot of people. It was a beautiful day. It was amazing. But I mean, there was so much back and forth of the rapture and is this, you know, like,
oh, yeah.
And so there was so much talk of that. But I think that, yes, we should long for heaven, but there's so much that, like, the journey is that. But we want the
end result, the finale.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're actually going to do a podcast on that, like, how your now is preparing for your next.
Yeah.
But we always mm-hmm. want to rush through the now.
Yeah.
Get to the next.
Yeah.
Forget the now.
So stay tuned for that. But this is really good, Abby. Because, I just feel like, as women, we carry so much guilt. Like, am I doing this right? Am I not doing this right? Am I at home enough? Am I not at home? And when you add social media and everyone's opinions, it can be really hard, mm-hmm. right? And so, you know, obviously we're after what God wants first most is fun.
Why use long word when short word do trick?
Exactly. But I do. I also just think, like, if you're a woman, like, listening to this, like, we need to be more compassionate, I think, with other women. And
yeah,
and if your way you do things is not always going to be the same way that other women do things, and that's yeah. okay if it's within the context and the safety of scripture. You know what I mean? If it's outside the safety of scripture, then you're doing it wrong, obviously. But I just feel like we women can be really harsh on ourselves, and then also can be really harsh towards other people who maybe are doing it differently. And again, we have to submit to the authority of God, but I think there is some room there where, you know, I'm not in the mindset where you can never work outside the home, but yeah. I also know that the Bible's clear, like, hey, you're to be pouring into your kids and just like yeah. your kids and being yeah. a good wife. And if your job is taking you away from being able to do that, then I think that you do need to repent and mm-hmm. turn away from that and be able, you know, do something differently there.
But yeah.
it's a hard thing because different people are in different seasons, you mm-hmm. know, like you have broken homes and then you have moms who are carrying all the weight, you know, you
yeah.
have all these things and all these factors. And so it can just be hard, but I just feel like we need to be a little bit more
full of grace. Yeah.
Full of grace.
Yeah. Yeah. I will say, to speak to discipleship too, something you guys have to read, Practicing the Way by John Mark Comer. Amazing book. So I was just reading this morning and he was talking about, we're all disciples. You're all disciples of something.
Yeah.
So even if you're not, I mean, this speaks to the negative too. Like, you might be like, sometimes I fall into idolatry of health, right? And so I'm disciple. If all I'm preaching is health and wellness, that's not Jesus. Like, I'm yeah. missing the mark.
Yeah.
And so apply that to real estate. Apply that to worth the risk. Yeah. Like, yes, you're doing kingdom work. But if you're so stuck yeah. in that you're not even sharing Jesus, or pausing to be like,
right.
okay, I'm not making a Gilead Girls sale today. This is like, this woman's hurting and I need to pray for her right now in this moment. Like, again, it comes back to as you go in discipleship. But we've got to be careful that we're not discipling in the wrong things, you know?
That's really good.
Okay, Abby, as we are wrapping up, I think that there is a really beautiful challenge that you have that you can kind of push a little bit on people who may be listening, which is?
Yeah, I would just say, as you're reflecting over what we've talked about, what are some areas that God has maybe called you or nudged you, and just being available to the Holy Spirit to say, what is it that I should be doing? Or, and not in a guilty way, but how can I carry this out? How can I step into something new? It may be scary, but what is God calling me to as I am fill in the blank in your life?
That's good.
All right, guys, we're going to go ahead and wrap up. We just want to say thank you so much for tuning in. For our call to action this week, we want to encourage you to check out Cody and Abby Jurgens' page. Tell me again what it is.
Simple Stays LLC.
And that's on Instagram and Facebook, or
just Instagram.
And I follow them. Taylor follows them as well, I believe. And they give all kinds of good practical steps on how to achieve financial freedom. And so if you are in a space in your life where you want to work less and you want to have more freedom, we encourage you to check it out. We'll see you next time.